This week, we leave our terrible twos behind. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 74. Today is August 8th, 2014. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
Happy birthday to us, baby.
Woo! Number three. Ooh.
3 years.
It's a lot of wasted time.
Yeah, it is. But a lot of good beer.
That's right.
So.
And we've solved so many problems.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty much a different country now. The world.
So once again, we are at GC Food and Brewery. We want to thank them for hosting us and keeping the beer coming. And we have a special guest with us this time to help us celebrate our third anniversary, Pat.
Hello, this is Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hello, I'm Rob's brother.
That's right, not just any guy, my brother.
That's right, Rob is double teaming us this episode, although...
Hey, don't make it weird.
Although, Pat is not necessarily on the left.
No. As it turns out in my family, I am the lone liberal in right. The entire family.
Much to your family's consternation.
That's right.
He's
Every
a broken man.
Is a black sheep.
I am the black sheep, indeed. That's right. And Pat is my older brother by a year and a half.
Yes.
And my own personal mother and Pat's personal mother confessed to us later in life that the only reason I exist was so Pat would have somebody to play with.
This is true.
So... Nice. So, you have Pat to thank for me.
Yeah, well.
Pat, way to screw it up. Couldn't you have G.I. Joe or something?
I needed a Rob.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Nobody needs a Rob.
There are four brothers in my family, and then they had me and figured it out, and they nailed it.
Right.
You know, quit while you're ahead.
That's one way of looking at it.
Like my family, they stopped when they finally got it right.
There you go. There you go.
So, we have sort of a free-for-all episode.
Potpourri.
This time. Yes, a potpourri of topics.
I thought it was potpourri.
Potpourri.
And won't smell as
and
good.
Our listeners are probably thinking, yeah, how's that different from any other episode?
We'll let it flow. Like we're like John Coltrane on the mic.
Yes.
That's a jazz artist.
You know I got rhymes like Abe Vigoda. Sorry,
you
I was
put
just,
in a cricket sound.
I was reading a story today about the Beastie Boys, Rolling Stone. It's kind of interesting about this lost track from the Paul's Boutique recording sessions.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
What did it sound like? I mean, Paul's Boutique, every song sounds different in Paul's Boutique.
Yeah, so they made the point that it was a different producer, right? Rick Rubin didn't produce that album. So it was that producer, but they did it so early in the process that, like, the lyrics and everything sound like Licensed to Ill. So it's almost a hybrid between the two albums.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so...
Well, the Beasties hated that Licensed to Ill, didn't they? That was...
I don't know.
I thought that's...
I don't know.
They weren't forced into doing that, but that wasn't the sound they wanted. That wasn't their style.
It was the first rap album to ever hit number one on the Billboard charts.
I'm not saying it was a bad album.
Oh,
I'm saying they didn't like it.
They were probably running from it their whole career. You know, when they know they could just pop like Paul Revere 2 and sell a zillion copies. But
I saw them in concert, the Together Forever tour with Run DMC.
Oh, lucky dog.
1987. Yeah, that was a great show.
I saw him in 98 in the round at Savas Center.
Oh, yeah?
That was pretty good.
Who else was with him?
I don't remember. All I remember is the Beastie Boys.
Any mosh pitting?
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I guess since we talked about it, I'll put a link in the show notes to the Beastie Boys story.
New studios... they really have lost tracks, or is it, we're going to put this on the shelf for 20 years, and then we'll bust it out as a lost track?
Sure, right.
Is it, everybody has lost tracks.
Yeah, this one, I think, from the story, was actually lost. Like, it was in a, you know, a self-storage unit somewhere for 20 years, and, yeah.
I like it.
All right, so moving on, we've talked enough about the Beastie Boys.
Wait a minute, there's a new Hardee's commercial on right now.
Holy All right, boy. So we're going to pause. And
All right, back to it.
Oh, no.
Paris Hilton has arrived.
Paris Hilton? See, now they just ruined
it. Yeah, they ruined it. Okay.
I was watching the burger, just so you know.
We're a little bit distracted this episode. Let's try to stay focused here.
Focus.
So there's been a lot happening in the news lately. You know, August is usually a slow month, right? And there's just a ton of stuff going on around the world. What do you got, Rob?
Big thought that came to me this week was this article that I'll post in the wiki if it's ever back up. right next to our solutions page on the wiki where it has all the things we've solved.
That's right.
Make sure you find that on there.
It is a long list, by the way.
it was an article in my favorite, The Atlantic Monthly. I should get a cut of their massive profits for how much I plug them. Who's the article by, who's this, Peter Beinart, we're going to go with?
He actually has a printed copy of The Atlantic.
I do. So. I'm so old school and vintage.
So 20th century.
Or did you?
I did.
Borrow
but not on the newsstand. And it was about how we've lost sense in our foreign policy about our interests that maybe before, and I think the article goes back even back to the Korea and the Vietnam era. But we continually lose our sense of our foreign policy being based on what is an interest to our country. And it's really kind of crass to think that. You got humanitarian crises everywhere. You got people dying. You got religious battles going on. You have, you know, the electorate that gets fired up about various things. But really, it seems to be that what we should all agree on and the guiding light is to use our military might to represent our interests. It seems like we've just lost that completely. So anything that kind of pops off in the world, you know, it seems like to me as kind of an Obama man, you know, it's just everybody's beating on Obama's door. When are you going to do something about this? When are you going to do something about this crisis in Honduras or this one in Syria or this one in Ukraine? And some of those might have massive interest to our country, and some of them might just be humanitarian badness that is occurring.
Right.
But we've sort of lost our ability to clamor for the things that matter. And some could say, like, you know, the whole Vietnam LBJ going off crazy in Cambodia thing during the Vietnam War was, you know, we wanted to sort of contain the Soviets.
Right.
So anything the Soviets did, we had to somehow like counteract. So they were just kind of baiting us in. Maybe Southeast Asia was important. Maybe it wasn't. But after a while, we just had to like stop them on every front. So that was, you know, we're sending all of our might and our American youth off to die just to try to stop what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've kind of lost that. You know, like I think especially in the Middle East, when now it feels like everything is in our interest. Like, is that more in our interest than the Putin Ukraine kind of thing? I mean, what do you guys think about not humanitarian? I mean, bad things are going on in Syria. They're bad in northern Iraq, whatever it is.
I think our interests are the global economy.
Yes.
Put it in something Rob can attack, capitalism. The global economy, essentially everything is now our interest.
Right, exactly. That's what I was going to say, too.
I don't see this as a lot different from what I remember when I was a little kid in the 80s in the Cold War, and watch the news with my parents, and I would hear them complain, and it seemed to me, too, like, I would always wonder, well, why are we going over there? We don't, you know, that's pretty far away. Why do we care about that? And they would complain, we aren't the world's police, Team America.
Right.
Yeah, and like, being a kid of the 80s, to date myself, don't ask a man his age. You know, I'm kind of nostalgic for the Cold War. I'm like, oh, we have some, like, we got, like, some Russia invade Ukraine real close to Poland, and can we make, like, a little, like,
Can we have a little NATO thing going?
It was easier back then.
Yeah, I mean, in some sense, if you look in terms of national interest, like maybe defending the kind of NATO Europe, you know, the Atlantic thing might be more important than the, you know, the wacky Middle East,
if I may call it wacky.
What do you think?
So there's this humanitarian crisis in Iraq.
Yes.
There's all these people that need food and water, and so we go give them food and water and blow up some stuff. But I wonder, where is the rest of the world? Where's France? Where's Great Britain? Where's Netherlands? Where's any of them? They're nowhere to be found. Why always? Why can't we go help them? Help these people?
That's an excellent question.
I think it is. It's a valid point.
I would say France is busy cleaning up a plane crash in Mali or something. And
well, yeah, well, there's that. But I don't know that, like this latest incident in Afghanistan where it was another green-on-blue shooting. So Afghan Army guy shoots Americans and
American general.
General, two-star.
First general to die in a combat zone since Vietnam.
Yeah. In that, they said several German soldiers were also wounded. So I think other countries, they do have a role.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we don't hear about it as much.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't have the role. Maybe they need to take a larger role. Maybe they need to take the lead sometime.
Right.
But, I don't.
Yeah, especially when, it's like outside the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
You know, right. Why do we have to take the lead on all that stuff that's over there?
I think we like to. Don't we like to run the show?
I don't know.
I know
that
we like to.
Well,
but
I think we like to.
Maybe our government likes to.
Maybe our people don't. Yeah, I mean, I think we like to project power that way. I mean, I don't think
soft power and hard power.
Right. Hard power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we need to learn, like you were just saying, we need to learn what's our business and what isn't.
Right.
And stay out of the stuff that isn't our business. But it's getting increasingly hard to tell the difference.
I think it's our business, but I think it's also everybody else's business when it's humanitarian. And
yeah, you do wonder how these countries get away with, you know. Oh no, there's something uniquely American that feels like whatever happens, we got to do something about. You know, world police.
World police.
And then other countries may have helped, but it was our C-130 or whatever it was, and our B-6 or whatever it was that went over there and dropped all the stuff. So it was. I don't know why another country can't drop some stuff.
Yeah. I don't think we really mind dropping the stuff. That's probably the easy part. You know, I guess it's all the boots on the ground and the. But you said there weren't going to be boots on the ground. But it's all the...
He said there'd be no combat troops.
Two rounds of airstrikes on Iraq today.
They look like combat troops to me.
Airstrikes are easy.
I don't know, but
dial it in.
It's a little bit more than just dropping stuff.
I was trying to figure out today why you needed to use a 500-pound bomb. I'm pretty sure 200-pound probably would have got it done.
I don't think they make those.
Oh, they don't? Okay.
Crank it to 11?
They're too small.
Small diameter bomb.
Yeah.
How much does that have? 100? 150?
But when I saw they like bombed an artillery target, I wonder if the military was like, oh, we get to? I mean, it's so exciting, you know? That's what their whole job is. Can we scan it on our radar and find it? And, you know?
Right.
Yay!
It's like a World War II cannon.
Well,
right, yeah. Some old way they got to crank it up to make the elevation go up.
And the first thing that popped into my head was, is this a whole new operation? You know, like, are they going to name this? Or is this just an extension of, you know,
right,
Iraqi freedom?
They should name Iraqi it. Freedom. We name storms. We can name this.
Well, they name every operation. And then, you know, whether or not you get a medal is dependent upon, you know, so like those F-18 pilots that flew today, if this is a new operation, there's going to be a new medal created just for it, and they'll be the only ones that get to wear it, you know? So it's kind of like bragging rights for them.
It's true.
I like new operations.
I'd want an operation.
Huh?
I want an operation named then.
Yeah.
I'll get a medal.
Well, then they'll start selling the naming rights for the operations, too. It'll be, you know, Operation Starbucks.
Amazon.com. Hey, this airstrike sponsored by Amazon.com.
That's right. This airstrike brought to you by Amazon's drones.
Where are we going with that?
Well, then another thing on that is then they, I don't know if you heard today, then one of the guys we bombed, he said, well, they're not going to stop attacking until they have the caliphate Arabian flag hanging in the White House. So now they're coming for us, although maybe it's already hanging in the White House.
Oh! Know.
Who's this, ISIS?
Yeah, ISIS.
Yeah.
That was, so, that's been, I mean, that was Osama bin Laden's tenant or
his goal.
His goal was the Muslim flag will fly over the White House. Okay, so is that meaningful or is it just rhetoric? You know, what?
So I have a question about ISIS. Have you guys heard it referred to as ISIL?
Yes.
No. The Pentagon, that's their term. They refer to him as ISIL.
What does that mean?
It's the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant,
yeah,
which is the traditional name for Syria and Israel. The whole, you know, eastern edge of the Mediterranean is called the Levant.
I knew a guy named Levant in high school.
Yeah? Could he get you things? Is he a guy that could get you things? Yeah, so
I think they rebranded. Now they're ISIS.
I wish we could all agree on what to call this group. They call themselves ISIS. Are we just calling them something else to disrespect them or what?
Probably. You know, it's like spelling somebody's name incorrectly on purpose.
Yeah.
A little show of disrespect. But it was the same with...
Those Muslim guys.
Muslims.
Osama bin Laden or Usama? Was it Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda?
Right.
Yeah, there must have been a dozen different ways to spell Muammar Gaddafi.
Right. Or who's being Fardeen?
Where is Maruf?
But it is kind of nice. I like this caliphate talk, you know, because in the second Iraq War, it was a lot of Sunni Shia, you know, a lot of kind of tribalism kind of thing. I mean, just come right out with some caliphate, you know?
But just say you want to take over the universe with
but
your religion.
You know what's funny is that Al Qaeda has like disowned ISIS, right? They've distanced them. And you know why? Because ISIS is like the tinfoil hat crowd of the Muslim world, right?
Yeah.
They are trying to bring the 12th Imam and, you know, the end of the world and all of that. They're trying to bring that about. And the rest of the Muslims are standing around
like, we're crazy, but we're not that crazy.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I think that's funny.
Well, it's interesting that they talk about the Levant because maybe they are getting... Maybe they're starting to understand the dynamics of the region more.
Right.
It's not drawn along lines of countries.
Right.
You have the groups, the Shia and the Sunnis, they hate each other.
Right.
So
let's
not talk about it in terms of countries. Let's talk about it as a region and figure out how to manage these two groups that hate each other and both of them, to some degree, hate us. One more than the other, maybe.
Right.
Or one wants to work with us and the other doesn't. You know, it's...
Yeah, can we get a few more ethnic groups involved? Like, today I heard about the Yazidis.
I think I may have heard about that.
Those are the ones that they're getting... Yeah, those are the guys we're
dropping. They're like trapped on a mountain right now. They're surrounded by ISIS, and that was what kind of precipitated these F-18 strikes.
Were they the Zoroastrian?
They're Zoroastrian. But not really. They're like a splinter group from this other group you've never heard of.
Now we learned about them in the Magic Flute, Mozart's Great Opera. It's a great opera, but it has those elements in it. And I'm like, they're still around, and Mozart would be proud.
I learned about them the first time I watched 2001.
Oh yeah, it's a theme.
Well, because the theme song, you know, is also Sprach Zarathustra, which is Zoroastra in German.
It's all coming together.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And the Magic Flute has a lot of, all the knocks are three knocks. There's a lot of...
That's very Christian.
That is. But it's also a Zoroastrian kind of thing. So when you listen to the Magic Flute tonight, as you might...
That's not what I'll do.
Let's not say we did.
Our break music this evening is brought to you by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
That's right. And Papageno.
Actually, I'll probably put Falco in there.
The real Mozart. Right,
right. So yeah, the ethnic splintering, and yeah, maybe we are seeing it the right way. And it's funny, the Palestine thing, not to dive into the Israel-Palestine thing. You know, we're talking about a Palestinian state, you know, and you know, some conservative guy on the radio today was saying, you know, it's not, is it really about that spot in the world? Is it really an Arab concern? You know, like could all the Arabs get together and carve out a little spot and call it Palestine and call it done? And, you know.
They already did that.
You know, right. But it's
called Jordan.
Right.
They did it after World War II.
They did it, but it's not, it didn't meet the need. You know, the
apparently.
Need is, there's a different need in there.
Apparently they wanted oceanfront property. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't pretend to understand all of the history of that. It's way more complicated than
it is complicated
than it's presented in the news and anything. But the whole we need a ceasefire. Hey, we need a ceasefire. You guys are beating us up, and all right, let's have a ceasefire. What? I don't understand that. Like,
well,
this is
just
a war.
The concept
this
of a ceasefire.
I don't, yeah,
yeah,
right.
It was right.
Because. They're talking about humanitarian reasons, and
some people can go to the store and get a Kit Kat, man. Come on.
Well, yeah, we always think that's weird. It's like I hate you, I want to kill you, like tomorrow. Yeah, I'll get you tomorrow, buddy. Yeah. You know, right.
And then so they get a ceasefire. And then what was it, 60 or 80 minutes in, they violate the ceasefire. You want a ceasefire, don't you? And it sounds to me a lot to me like a little brother when he's getting beat up by his other brother. All right, stop.
Right.
So he lets him go. Lets him out of the headlock.
Right.
And then the little brother starts beating on him again.
Right.
Yeah, speaking of brothers.
No. Well, it is. I think it is a trial balloon to a certain extent. It's like, hey, let's try a ceasefire and see if it sticks. If it does, then maybe we're done shooting at each other for a while.
It hasn't stuck for the last 35 years. Or
more than that.
More than that, but, you know.
68. 67.
Why that's not going to solve anything. There's nothing on the precipice of being a breakthrough.
No, you're right.
Other than one side destroying the other one enough that, all right, we're done.
Right. Well, I mean, a ceasefire in wartime is not unprecedented. There were plenty of them during World War II even. I mean, they frequently have ceasefires on Christmas Day and, you know.
Yeah, but you got to wait for Santa Claus. You can't be...
Yeah,
be popping them out of the sky like
can't
a Sam missile.
With a reindeer.
Well, I don't understand. I'm trying to think of where I saw this, but it was talking about the unevenness of the casualties.
The asymmetric warfare.
Yes.
That's the term.
I thought asymmetric warfare was more like special ops. I don't think asymmetric is normally referred to in terms of one side outweighing the other in
disproportionate. I've heard it mentioned in this, is you know, like they're shooting their little rockets and they, you know, that's their attack. And the other side's got F-16s and Iron Domes.
Okay, well
and,
then don't shoot rockets at somebody who has F-16s and Iron Domes.
I'm just saying that's what asymmetric warfare is.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the little brother, big brother thing, right?
It is.
Poke them in the, you know, hit them in the back seat and then, whoa!
Yeah.
I'm another one.
Doing all right. So don't. That's. I think that's getting at my point.
What's your point?
I don't know.
We were getting at it.
I say don't let them.
We don't need to have points.
Go at it. Palestine or Hamas is going to run out of rockets eventually.
But I think
we'll be done.
I think just where we're confusing it is because I don't think Hamas's goal isn't to like. Beat them militarily. Like, we'll fire so many rockets that...
They could.
They would if they could, but they know they can't. So why are they even bothering, right? It was just Jeremy's question. And it's... Somehow, they have calculated that them getting beat up in this war, continuing it, and getting beat up, is good for them.
It's moving their political motives forward.
Indeed. So if they kill 20 Israelis and they lose 2,000 of their countrymen, but it gains them political clout in that they were the ones fighting the big beast,
right.
That it's worth those 2,000. So they're not really it's like they're you know, at least in World War II, you know, you were fighting. It's like, I want that land. No, I want it. You know, you knew what you were. They're not fighting for the same thing.
Yeah.
So the Israelis are trying to knock out all the rocket stations to try to get rockets to stop coming in. And that's what Hamas wants. They're just playing into the hand. So that's why it keeps continuing. Why have a ceasefire? Like, both sides are getting what they want. Israelis want to whoop some A asterisk asterisk.
Censored free.
And then
you can say ass.
Oh.
Oh.
You know, and Hamas and Hamas wants it whooped, you know, because it's good for them. So, and that's why it's like, how do you intervene on something that both sides want, you know? It's very, very strange.
Yeah, well, so Hamas wants to goad Israel into being the aggressor,
yeah,
so that they look bad in the eyes of the world. Same way, you know, Putin looks right now for having invaded Ukraine.
Right.
I don't know what that gets him in the long run, though, really.
Yeah.
Well, has he officially invaded the Ukraine yet?
Maybe not.
He's just sympathetic to the cause of the rebels.
They just parked some vehicles along the border. Maybe some guys volunteered to help, you know, I don't know,
shoot down an airliner.
I don't know what that buys Hamas in the long run, because it's not like the U.S. is going to go, oh, you know what? Yeah.
Israel's
a punk.
Right.
We've been wrong.
They're a little
then.
Heavy-handed. So.
Yeah, so we're on your side now.
But maybe they're trying to, maybe it's something to do with the Muslim Brotherhood. Maybe they're trying to squash the Brotherhood out. That's what I heard.
That's what you heard. From your contacts.
From Levant.
from your correspondent in the Levant. All right. But maybe we'll have to get him on the show.
What I like about two things, if I remember the second thing, I probably forget, but I looked it up in Wikipedia, because it's got to be right if it's on Wikipedia.
Absolutely.
And since 2002 or something, I think Hamas has launched, on average, 667 missiles into Israel a year. Every year, they just launch them in there. And nobody hears about that. You don't care about it. Now you hear about it now when there's a little big dust-up when Israel starts fighting back.
Right.
So every year they shoot 600, well, not every year, but on average, they shoot 600 and something missiles in there. And on top of that, they don't care where those things go. They don't care if they hit a hospital or a school or an old folks home. They could give a rat's butt. They just fire them off and hope they hit. They probably hope it hits that stuff.
Yeah, they're firing like Milhouse with a slingshot.
But nobody cares about that. It's just those Israelis are bad.
So Hamas is to the PLO what ISIS is to Al Qaeda, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're the more extreme faction that wants to continue provoking, you know, a fight. You know, they're deliberately trying to pick a fight because that's the only thing they've got. You know, the PLO, at least, they've got, you know, some recognition on the world stage, right?
Right.
I mean, they show up at the UN and people will actually listen to them. Hamas can't do that.
Right, right.
So this is the only card they have to play.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, you think about the, like the Joe Schmo Palestinian, you know, he's not necessarily all about this. He's not necessarily, you know, a fan of what Hamas is doing. But, you know, he's got the rockets coming down on his head.
Right. Yeah. So
that's why we got to keep our country from getting taken over by extremists like my brother Pat and you guys.
Just figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break while we plot some extremist stuff.
Ah.
Whoa.
Oh, wait. Oh, God. Now we're going to
be associated
FBI
with that.
Yeah.
And we'll cover some more stuff that's in the news when we come back, so stay with us.
Isn't no monopoly of common sense on either side.
All right, we are back. We're going to talk about a couple more stories that have been in the news. Jeremy's got something for us to sink our teeth into.
Only if you have small teeth, because this isn't very deep. Let's talk about Ebola. Been reading a little bit about that, and interesting to me that the CDC says, well, you know, developed country, we don't really have anything to worry about, not going to be an epidemic here. But they've started bringing a few people back here and started doing some testing for Ebola, and all of a sudden it's getting a little more serious. And they're like, well, we probably don't have anything to worry about here. So,
yeah.
Just curious which way that's going to go. And
have you guys ever seen the movie Contagion?
No.
Yes.
I will admit that I don't want to watch something like that because...
Dude, you will never stop washing your hands if you watch that movie.
You have more of a fear of that kind of thing over, like, I don't know, robbery at gunpoint or a bomb landing on your house or a tornado.
I would say...
Like the small...
I would say I'm equally concerned about all of those, in as much as I've had some damaging winds at my house and a tornado, like two tornadoes within a mile of my house. So it's a...
So you're hardened now. But they stayed away because you stood in your driveway and just yelled at it.
I used to do that until I had some damaging winds and saw how quickly it happened. And now I'm like a little kid in the basement with a pillow in my...
Yeah, I'm a little cavalier.
But Jeremy's a doomsday prepper, so he's,
right,
he's good.
If you consider a six-pack of beer and a bag of potato chips a doomsday prepper, then...
Hey, I don't think you need much more than that. Maybe a flashlight.
That'll get me through day one. First couple hours of it.
So, okay, so you bring this story up because you think it's an actual threat to us, or...
I think I bring it up because I don't know. I remember hearing about the Hunter virus being a big deal, and then I remember hearing about Ebola a long time ago, and it kind of went away.
Right.
Now it's coming back again, and what...
Yeah, so...
What do you feel is your first line of defense against an outbreak like that?
Stay hydrated.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
There's water and beer.
No, I'm reading the symptoms, and that was like the thing they recommended most. Like, really, the big bad Ebola virus?
So you're just drinking water like
Evian?
So, it's interesting because NPR was reporting this week that, I don't know, they were interviewing a doctor who's actually over there helping the patients. And
this wasn't that Dr. Brantley guy who contracted...
No, this was a different one. He was apparently working with that guy. Oh. He knew him.
Okay.
But he was saying that, you know, if you could pick up a modern hospital from the United States and set it down over there in Africa, they could eliminate this thing in like 2 weeks. Because it's the medicine and the equipment that allows them to isolate and keep these people stable so that their own immune system can take over and fight the virus off. And they don't have the facilities there to do that. If they could just stabilize these people, they would have like a 90% survival rate instead of a 40% or whatever it is.
All right, so how much does a modern hospital cost?
I don't know.
Probably a lot.
$5 million?
Yeah, sure. $5-10 million, something
okay.
like that.
So there's three bombs that we dropped in Iraq. Let's take that money and build a hospital there, and then we don't have to worry about this anymore.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
Of course, you'll need those bombs to defend the people who think we're trying to invade and steal their soul and protect the hospital. Because they've attributed that. They actually saw this, that witchcraft was...
Right.
was preventing some people from surviving.
Yeah, well, like, they don't even believe that it's real, right? I mean, there's a lot of people who live there, natives... live there, they don't even believe the virus is real. They think it's something else that kills people.
Like a spirit that comes in the night kind of thing?
Yeah.
And in this country...
And so they're having to combat that on top of everything else, you know, because people aren't taking the normal precautions that, like, we would take to, you know, to kind of...
All right, here's an idea. How about you people who believe that take care of the other people who believe that, and then we'll take care of all the people who believe this is a medical situation.
Right.
Yeah, but one of those people that don't, think that's how they're gonna. They do believe in flight, and they're gonna hop on a plane, and then.
But I thought it raised interesting parallels. Like we kind of giggle, you're like, ha, you don't believe in a virus, you know. But I thought about the controversy over vaccines recently in our country. You know,
good point.
Well, I'm not gonna put vaccines in my child. They're not gonna get mumps and rubella, and then oh, we got a rubella outbreak suddenly shows up in the elementary school. You know.
Yeah. So what'd you guys think about this secret serum that they flew over there and gave to those two doctors?
You heard about the secret serum?
I heard about it, but I didn't read about it because I don't like to.
You don't like to read?
I don't like to read. You know? If they made a video about it, maybe I'd see it.
I see.
But no, I hate to talk about it this way. I don't like to pollute my mind with potential conspiracies because I have.
Because you got enough of your own.
You guys always used to call me the tinfoil hat guy when I was first on here. But is it? It's like the, you know, some kind of, well, we'll hold this back unless it gets really bad.
Right.
And then we'll start using this.
Well, they got tested on 100 things and all that.
Well, that's, you also bring up a good point. Who developed this? Because in the United States, there are drugs that could be available, but there's so much rigorous testing by the FDA that it prevents things from getting to market sooner.
Right.
So what? Where's the trade-off?
And right.
For me, when you zoom out and look at it on a grand scale, it's like, well, that's good. We prevent some bad reactions and... But to the guy who's dying right now, like, no, I want that.
Give
now.
Me a chance.
I don't care if I grew a second arm, right. Or, I mean, a third arm. Maybe he lost an arm in a battle. I don't know.
So
that'd be a good thing.
That's the only reason they sent it over there. They could get away with that because they couldn't administer it here.
Yeah.
Because the FDA hasn't approved it yet. They've never tested it on humans before.
It's kind of like the. Well, we tortured some folks, you know. That's okay over there, but over here, that doesn't fly.
Right, it's illegal.
And so, you know, my reaction to that was, okay, number one, we have this serum that we think can cure Ebola, and we're only going to send two vials of it over there for the two Americans that are infected.
From what I heard,
screw
that
the rest of you people.
To.
No, there's only two in existence?
Yeah, that was it. Now we're out of it, I think.
I mean, how do you only have two? Is it made out of uranium?
You squeeze it out.
Yeah. It's like that movie Medicine Man with Sean Connery. Sean Connery movie is a good movie, by the way. Lorraine Bracco and Sean Connery are in the jungle, and they found the cure for cancer. And then the big bad people come and destroy the rainforest. Very political movie, too. But you didn't even realize it.
Is
it
the Lorax?
Same thing.
The company that developed that serum, their stock has gone up like 100% this week.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
That's why we're here.
They don't even know if it works.
Maybe it doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't have to work.
Well, it worked on the one guy.
It did.
And he's the one of them that they flew back here.
Ah, okay. The... Kent, the Brantley doctor?
Yeah, they gave it to him.
Because I thought
he gave it to her first.
He gave it to her
first. I think
they
had two of them.
he comes out and, you know, it looks like a great story where he's like, no, let her have it. He's like, test it on that lady.
I'm going back home.
I want to try this.
Tell me how that second arm works out for you.
No, I think in Missouri they did pass in the legislative session this time was the right to try. So if you're terminal or whatever, then I think you can bypass the FDA and start trying things.
Now, there's a decent idea, maybe.
Yeah. That's not an every
a decent idea would be to just back the F off and not try to prevent people from doing what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but even that...
It's good if they test it for the third arm.
The third arm disease? There's a very popular drug. What is it?
Cocaine.
No, medicine. Well, some people call it medicine. But
Lipitor.
Legit medicine. No, it wasn't even that. It was
Viagra.
Or some... You notice nobody's complaining. No men are complaining about that.
No.
Some ladies like, hey, come on, guys.
The lack of clinical trials.
But it was, whatever drug it was a very effective drug, but there were some side effects and people having, I think it was heart problems after the drug. And it it's not like there was hard evidence, but the lawyers got involved.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this drug was pulled from the market. Wait a minute. You know, this is benefiting a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Dr. Drew used to talk about it a lot.
It's like
Dr. Drew Pinsky, one of my heroes.
Had two X's in the name.
Yes, that one. No, I
Dos Equis?
That's it.
Yeah. Comes in a green bottle, right? What else? Gotta bring up the old "we didn't impeach Bush." I tried.
Yes.
Had some problems with our IT guy lately. Come on over. We're not actually on the air. Or anything, so.
All right. What is this? Liberal or conservative? There's four of you.
Yeah, it's our birthday episode. This is our third year of doing this, so we have a guest here.
This is my brother.
I'm a guest conservative.
Okay, cool.
But you can guess which one of us is the liberal conservative and anarchist.
Which one's the anarchist? Oh, God, am I
going to go on? Are you familiar with don't let this sway who you think is who, because I always ask this question. Do you know the real definition of anarchist? Because a lot of that term is used kind of incorrectly.
You sound like an anarchist.
more along lines of lack of laws or lack of following laws.
Step right up.
Lack
of government.
An absence of centralized government. Yes, very good.
All right. Nice work.
Yeah, I listen to Talk Radio all day.
Yeah?
What's your name?
Joanna.
Hi,
Joanna.
This is Jerry. This is Rob.
Hi.
I'm Pat the guest.
That's our
nice
guest.
To meet you. Welcome.
Joanna. So who do you listen to on talk radio?
I don't know if I want to give away all my secrets.
Oh, come on. We listen to everything.
So, then did you vote this past Tuesday?
Yes.
Perfect. Joanna, we're so happy to see you.
I don't have my glasses on.
Not everyone at this table voted on Tuesday.
That won't help you right now.
All right. But I do tweet, so I can follow you.
All right.
Oh, we'll follow you on Twitter.
Cool.
So are you... Go ahead.
Are you willing to talk about how you voted this last election? You don't have to get as specific as you want, but...
Well,
so before you start, do you mind if I videotape you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
How about audio?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, just talk to us then, and
we'll
not
talk,
record.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one thing I will tell you, since moving to Missouri,
from where? Ago?
Huh?
How long?
We've been here since 2007.
Okay.
From when?
The one thing I don't like, my husband was in the service, so we've been all over, is I just think at the primary, you shouldn't have to choose which ballot.
Yeah,
I agree.
You know,
I agree
you could too. Have a buddy that's running a Democrat, and you don't like the rest of Democrats, and you want to vote Republican, but why should you be limited? And I just don't like that.
And there's some old school, like 1770s kind of stuff about when you show up and they're like, well, what ballot do you want? You got all your buddies around there.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'm the opposite of everybody in my neighborhood. So, like, they kind of know it already, but I'd rather not just shout it out in front of everybody.
Exactly.
You know, it's a constitutional right to have a secret ballot.
Yeah.
Right. But they ask you right there. And then you got the hard-of-hearing old lady and she's talking real loud. So are you Democrat or Republican?
Right.
That's why I do the video, so you can point and then nobody can hear.
That one, right.
So what else? So you moved around a lot.
Yes.
Is there any, you want to talk about that at all? The experiences you've had? Yeah,
we were.
Has that shaped your political views or anything?
Being
affiliated with the military?
My husband was in the service for 8 years.
What branch?
Air Force. We got to live in some great... His first location was Patrick Air Force Base, which is in Florida, Cape Canaveral. So he got to be there when all the rockets went off. We were in Italy for 3 years. And we were in California for 3 years.
So Aviano or Vandenberg
Air Force
or
the way to go.
Travis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I worked Air Force the way to go.
I wasn't in the military.
All right. Yeah, so we got to experience a lot of stuff.
Jerry here's a former Marine, so he didn't get to go to all the nice places.
I thought that you're never a former Marine. You're always a Marine, right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's what they say.
Okay. You're former Air Force. A Marine, you take it to the grave.
That's right.
Semper Fi.
Did living in Italy change how you see the world is right, but I know I've
No.
Europe has a lot of
because I was still too young and stupid.
Oh, okay. Where's that?
we took full advantage of seeing everything, eating everything, you know. We would ski during the winters, and he was
Sounds
on the softball
hard.
Team, so we would travel with the softball team during the summer and see Europe that way. So we took full advantage of it, but I had no political inkling at that point. I was in my early 20s, and you don't really... Until you start making money and paying taxes and seeing where the taxes go, I don't think you really...
So you think the Italians got it figured out?
No. No.
But you get to ski in the winter and play softball in the summer.
Well, yeah, but we were Americans working 40 hours a week on base, and we could afford it, you know? A lot of the Italian nationals that we met, they live in the same house as their parents and their grandparents because they can't afford anything else.
Right.
And they have this little scheme going. I hope I'm not moving the tape, but
you're not.
They do, when they try and expand the houses or rebuild the houses, they leave the facade looking like it's falling down because then it's not complete and they're not taxed on it because the taxes are outrageous.
I'm
there.
Inadvertently doing that with my house, too.
But that's a great reason for it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not, I mean, they have the facade of it's a good life, but they have to work really hard, and they can't afford the same things that we can afford. They have the, and I was in a smaller town, too. You know, it wasn't the big city. It wasn't Milan. It wasn't Rome. But they worked hard, and they had the one-month vacation every year. Companies shut down,
nice.
And they were always off 2 days a week, and then they got their vacation aside from the 1 month guaranteed. But they didn't have that much autonomy to go out and do things on their own. They had to rely on family to support them and stay together in the family unit.
So do you think the families are more cohesive there because of that?
Oh, yeah.
Than they are here?
Yeah, I do think so. Because you have that leadership from the grandparents and the parents and the kids, and they're learning consistently from the different generations. So I absolutely do.
What else do you want to talk about, Joanne?
Nothing. I just wanted to check you out and see what
you're solving all the world's problems.
All about.
Well, this is what we do. We get together once a month and we drink beer and we talk about politics.
Very cool.
And we record it and put it on the internet.
I'll check you all out on Twitter.
Thank you. Nice meeting you too.
And you make a fortune.
That's right. Then the money rolls in.
That's right. Step three, profit.
I think we're making billions and Jerry just hasn't told us.
Yeah, I'm just socking it away in a numbered bank account.
You need someone to buy advertising in the middle of your, when you're on break there. Just one advertisement.
Oh, yeah, for our...
Maybe Nike.
Done with that.
Well, all right, are you listening, GC? We need an advertising deal.
We need a free beer first. Let's start there.
I would be okay with just free beer. That would be a good start. All right, what else to talk about?
As Joanna was coming on, I was talking about we didn't impeach Bush.
Oh, yes.
The lady, I don't even remember where she's from, but she came
out
saying...
I want to say it was California, but I can't be sure.
I was thinking Oklahoma. Maybe I'm confusing a story. I read a story about a teacher who showed up on the first day drunk without pants. So that Oklahoma is
taken.
Rob used to do that all the time when he was a teacher.
It's a tradition.
I don't think it was.
So this lady comes out saying, well, you bad Republicans talking about impeaching Obama, we never did that when Bush was in office.
Right.
Turns out she actually did do that.
She co-sponsored the bill to impeach Bush.
So I'm not saying right or wrong either way. Maybe one deserved it, maybe one didn't. Maybe both do or both don't. But I think that signals an issue in our government, that there's either a lack of awareness or just blatant lying. And Adam Carolla, I talk about Adam Carolla a lot because I think he's the sum of all wisdom. He has a game that he does called Stupid or Liar. Either you're really stupid and don't remember what you did, or you're a liar.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure which one, right, she... I didn't research her, but I'm guessing a little of both. Because to say that, if she was lying,
right,
she's also stupid because it's easy to research and find out.
Yeah. So I think the politicians in D.C. certainly, and probably everywhere, have learned that Americans have a short memory when it comes to things like that.
Very true.
And, you know, something like that is not going to haunt her beyond, you know, a few weeks or months. You know, she's certainly not going to have to worry about it the next time she's up for re-election. You know, nobody's going to... Unless she's got an opponent who's, you know, looking for things to hammer her with and say, oh, remember when she said this?
But I think that is starting to happen more. Because you have these, for lack of a better word, I call it data mining. People who do go back and research that kind of thing and say, no, wait, look, here's this laundry list of things they supported. And now they're saying they don't. So which is it?
Yeah.
So,
well, that and The Daily Show has an army of interns that just sit there and watch TV all day long and catalog what they see.
That is the greatest job ever.
No doubt. Sign me up for that. Although I don't think they get paid for it, so.
Who needs money when you have Obamacare?
I'd do it for a month.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I found in.
On the impeachment thing, I think I saw a tweet by a conservative guy that they, how true this is or not, but it tallied the amount of times they mentioned impeachment on Fox News and how many times they mentioned it on MSNBC. And like Fox News is like 600, MSNBC was like 6,000.
You know? Really?
Because it's fodder, it's fundraising mojo.
Yeah.
You know. And I hope for the day, strangely enough, that my brother and his and all of the Republican compatriots can just learn to just dial it back a notch. You know, you can tire a guy out in boxing by making him swing and miss. You know,
right?
But it seems like especially the conservative base, they have such kind of a purity test against each other that they're always kind of trying to outdo each other in a purity way.
Right.
You know. So they're always worried about getting primaried by somebody that says, oh, I would impeach him. You're like, I'll impeach him twice. Tomorrow I'll do it, you know. So, you know, and a little bit of the Todd Akin thing, you know, just drive yourselves all crazy and spin yourselves up in a kind of a purity test way.
Right.
And it lets the Democrats just have the easy win, you know. Just take it, dial it back. And you're fine, you know.
I think you're onto something there, that there's just too much talking. And being on a podcast,
right?
That up before. That what are we actually trying to do? Let's try to do something.
Yeah. Right.
So, if you're going to impeach him, talk about it behind the scenes, figure out a game plan, and say, boom, here it is.
Right.
Not
here.
You know,
here are the high crimes and misdemeanors that we think he's guilty of.
Yes. Not. Let's throw it out and test it a little bit,
right,
and then we'll throw it out a little bit more.
Instead
more,
of just putting a question at the bottom of the screen, should Obama be impeached?
Right, right. And then, like, I saw some video. I think you guys may have sent it. Somebody sent it about Obama's like what, you know, he gets to be like the cool guy. Like, why are they all hating over there?
I never understood,
you know,
that. I don't think he's the least bit of
a cool guy. I think he's the cool guy.
No way, man.
He is a nerd.
Oh my god.
But he would be the first to admit he's a nerd.
He is a nerd, but he gets to stand up there without his coat on and his shirt sleeves with a crowd that's full of supporters.
Does that short step shuffle thing where he kind of
wrangles his
shoulders back and forth and
sticks
his hand out and pulls for the handshake.
Pulpit,
you know what it looks like. How many times did you rehearse that?
Right. Practice cool. But you know, but it's like, I mean, it's just a softball to him, you know? Because without that, you're talking about Benghazi, or if you're a Benghazi man. Right, or you're talking about, you know, red lines in Syria. You're talking all these things, but, you know, all you got to do is throw him one softball crazy, and he just pummels it out of the park to me. You know, it's just don't go crazy. Just let it be what it is, and you can win. That's my feeling. So I'm pumped up for the election.
I'm on the verge of doing something I don't want to do here, Rob. Hold me back.
I'm confused on the we're going to sue him. Let's just say he loses, and they sue him and he loses. What happened?
I don't understand the suing either.
What happens then?
It's arm wrestling.
Nothing?
That's all it is.
Just like, you lost, haha.
Yeah. Oh. Bragging rights.
Can I sue you people? And you represent Jerky Boys? No.
Right. Jerky
sue
Boys.
Everybody.
All right. We're getting all of Jeremy's like idols tonight. We got Dr. Drew, Adam Carolla, Jerky Boys.
Well, I do idolize the Jerky Boys. Well, at least their first couple CDs. They kind of went downhill.
All right. So I got a couple stories I want to mention here. They're actually related. First of all, Edward Snowden was granted a 3-year residency permit in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Or did they send him to prison and their PR machine was 3-year residency permit.
In fact, he is
free bread and water.
He is free to travel the world and return to Russia at any time.
Ooh.
So, clearly he won't be coming back to the United States anytime soon, but, you know, this may allow him to finally go wherever it was he was trying to go when he got stranded.
Yeah.
And then, on a related note, Glenn Greenwald, the journalist, one of the journalists who helped Snowden leak all the documents and break this story a year ago, had alluded... probably about 2 months ago, had alluded to the fact that he thought there was another leaker. There was somebody else out there leaking documents in addition to Snowden.
Yep.
And he provided, this week he provided the proof, the smoking gun, basically, which is an internal government document referring to a second leaker. So there's links to both of those stories in the show notes. I just thought that was interesting that, you know, that maybe this thing is starting to snowball, that maybe there are more and more people that are in the government now that are looking around and saying, hey, you know what? This is pretty effed up. I don't think we should continue doing this.
I don't understand how there aren't more leakers.
Yeah, right. How do you live with yourself? You know, if you're in one of these positions where...
I can live with myself.
Well, I can live with myself.
No, come on. Now, you're aware of the government doing something shady. And you're told that it's okay.
Yeah.
You shouldn't worry about it.
Right.
I think I like shady.
I like shady. That's what I signed up for. They wear the shades. It's shady. I mean, you're going into the dark zone here. I don't know.
There probably is an aspect of, I'm in the club now. I know about the shadiness, but I still think...
Well, it is tricky, and we've talked about this before, but when you get that level of clearance and they start revealing things to you... I'm all set.
I'm good.
And, you know, they start revealing that level of detail to you. There's a reason why you know it, because they don't want people to know it, you know? And so, you know, to feel like, well, I think people should know this. I mean... we've raised this issue before. Well, but whether it's like, you know, whether Snowden is a moral hero that's followed his conscience, or whether he suspected issues and wheedled his way in, which would be treason. You know, but, so what's the difference?
But the difference is there's a difference between hiding something from the American people because you know they'd have a shit fit about it, and hiding information that you have about your enemies or whoever it is you're investigating on the planet. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Keeping that information secret because you don't want your enemy to know that you know it, that's one thing. But doing things that you're not supposed to do and hiding that from the American people is something totally different. And you know, Snowden has always considered himself a whistleblower.
Yeah.
Well, he believes that the NSA was violating the law.
I get all that, but I think...
Well, you can't dismiss it, though. That is his motivation.
That's what he says his motivation is.
Well, okay, regardless
but
of what...
But you can't You can't conjecture what is real motivation. You can't.
Hi, come on over.
Come on. It's free.
I think. Yeah. I mean, I might be.
Oh, no.
I might be naive, but I would. I would open myself up to the possibility that the government prison program, that we all know what PRISM is now, you know, that the motivation of there was to harness data for the efforts of tracking bad guys. And that might be. I mean, call me super naive. You know, I have a hard time believing that the motivation of setting up that program was to spy on Americans.
I don't believe that either.
I think Americans got caught in the dragnet of there.
I think there's a very fine line between hunting the bad guys and hunting everybody.
Yeah, right. I completely agree.
That's how it happens.
But that doesn't mean Snowden gets to be the holy redeemer and
well, somebody's got to play referee. You've got the FISA court, which is secret that nobody knows about. Nobody is privy to the decisions made by the judges who sit on that court.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be the referee,
right.
But how is that effective when their decisions are kept secret?
Right, you have to trust them.
Yeah. Who watches the watchers? Right, we've talked about that many times in the past
on the
show.
That's almost a direct quote
from Gene Hackman or Will Smith.
Yeah. Well, no, from Will Smith's wife.
Yeah,
in the movie, not Jada Pinkett Smith.
Was it Jada?
The girl from 227.
Enemy of the State. I got to add that
Enemy
to the
of
list.
An outstanding movie.
It is. It is actually good. And there's a bit of trivia surrounding that movie that I will briefly recap here. Gene Hackman's character in that movie is from a previous movie called The Conversation.
Oh, that, you know, I had that on my list to watch and I never did.
You should watch it.
Brill.
I've never seen it. I love all Gene Hackman movies. So,
The Conversation.
Is Gene Hackman your Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Watch the Conversation.
I do like Gene Hackman. I don't think Gene Hackman's in a bad movie.
Watch The Conversation, and The Conversation is the movie that Francis Ford Coppola made in between the first two Godfather movies.
Okay.
And
what time frame are we talking about? Is this 80s or
late
80s?
70s, okay. I guess. I think that's when it came out.
Okay.
And Gene Hackman's character is a surveillance expert who is adept at setting up microphones to, like, record people's conversations from a long distance away. And he's basically a PI, I guess, who's hired to, like, snoop on cheating spouses and whatnot, you know. But in the movie, he is snooping on a conversation and hears some things he's not supposed to hear. So it's an interesting film. Then you realize after you're about halfway through Enemy of the State, you realize he's the same guy. And it's like, you know, 30 years later or whatever.
He's still a surveillance guy.
Only now he lives inside a Faraday cage and, you know, he's like tinfoil hat guy. Yeah.
I'm with Pat. I don't think Gene Hackman's been in a bad movie.
I can't think of one.
Class Action, that's another. Narrow Margin, fantastic movie.
Hoosiers. Gotta mention it, right?
I never watched that.
The name's escaping me at the moment. The movie he did with Hugh Grant. Desperate Measures? Is that the name?
I've never seen that one. The Doctor?
Yeah.
Do all Gene Hackman movies have two words in the title?
Gene Hackman is...
except for Unforgiven.
In that one... In that one, he's a doctor who is basically kidnapping homeless people and doing experiments on them to find a cure for cancer.
Oh, maybe I did see that a long time ago. Yeah. Well, what else are you going to do with the homeless people?
Got to do something with them.
Jeez. All right, well... Let's see. Are we at a good... What? I have one more thing on my
list. All right,
list.
Go for
I'm
it.
I'm going to cross off that Fresno story because I think that'll just be a can
Fresno?
Of worms.
Nobody goes to Fresno anymore.
Nobody goes
anymore.
To Fresno but smog.
Didn't Bugs Bunny try to go to Fresno?
To Albuquerque.
Oh.
Although it did... Rob said something before the show that I wish it would have been recorded.
No, you got to come and join the podcast if you want to hear the pregame.
I have a proposal. Earlier we said...
An indecent proposal?
It might be indecent, but I don't have $1 million. earlier when I said there's all this talk, and what are we actually doing? I propose in our third year, let's try to do something. Let's talk about maybe...
You mean in our fourth year?
Well...
We completed our third year.
We did complete it? Oh. You sure?
Starting tonight.
Yes. Tonight, we are starting our fourth year.
I thought it was like birthdays where you don't...
Well, it is.
Wait. I propose we try to craft some legislation.
Okay.
Can citizens craft legislation?
Sure.
Yes.
I guess we need a legislator to bring it up. Is that how it works?
That's pretty bold.
Rob was very afraid.
That was bold. I thought you were like...
So what are we doing here, then?
Well, you said, let's do something, and I thought we would, like collect dollars for Greenpeace or something.
I don't know.
No, I don't craft
the law and then what? Send it to somebody in Jeff City or in
Maybe, but
in
I
Washington.
Thought that would go directly against you, Jerry, in particular. But either we craft a law or we comb through the laws and figure out something we want to try to get repealed.
Okay. What about a none of the above like Brewster's Millions, since we're talking about movies with two word titles.
All right.
There's got to be one.
Let's challenge ourselves.
You can't walk your cow on a Tuesday.
That's a good idea. I don't know what the challenge would be, but I like the concept.
Are we just getting together to drink beer, or are we trying to do something with
it? No, that's fine.
All right.
Drinking beer is good, though.
So, identify one in... Now, is this a law we all three have to agree on, or
yes.
Do we each come up with
I think the point... I don't know about... we could come up with ideas, but the point should be... Because this whole thing started... Three opposing views coming together to find a solution,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Or common ground.
Right.
So I think we should all three agree on whatever this is going to be and push it forward.
Repeal the 16th Amendment.
Done. What's the 16th Amendment?
The income tax.
Done and done. Let's get on that today.
See, Rob wouldn't go for it. Does anyone have any money to spend on all his liberal projects?
How are we going to socialize things if we don't have income tax?
Gotta have that money coming in, baby.
Exactly. More money.
That brings back to the transportation thing failed. So we said no taxes. They're just going to take it. They're going to take it some other way.
Right.
So.
But they thought they would ask nicely first.
Yeah, that was can we take your
and
money?
The Hardee's commercial's on again.
Oh.
That is a nice burger.
Yeah, my daughter does the same thing. Like, can I have a treat? No. Let me go get the treat then.
All right. I accept the challenge.
Like
all right.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. Barney Stinson.
I should be able to find one to repeal. I'm for repealing. I think every other Congress should do nothing but repeal stuff.
Ah.
Well, like odd numbered
ones?
That's
a good proposal.
Yeah. You can't make new stuff. You just
odd numbered Congresses have to repeal laws. Yep. Even numbered Congresses can make laws.
You're onto something, man.
Yes. I like it, Pat.
That's
good.
It's my new thing.
We'll call it Pat's Law.
I like it. I'll take
that. Patriot Act. Oh, wait, that's already taken.
All right. I think we're probably done.
Pat, do you have anything you want to add?
I want to hear the panels. I'm not a big Glenn Beck listener, but I've been listening to Glenn Beck because I've been going into work late. And not because I'm a slacker or nothing, but anyway.
Lazy and whiny, that's how we do it.
He's been posted. He said interesting that I saw. I want to get your opinion. He said we shouldn't care anymore about our political interests. We should care about our morals, not our interests. We were talking about our interest earlier around the world. What's our interest around the world? We should care more about our morals and not our interests.
Yes.
I just want to see what you guys
think. I agree.
That's
a new thought. I mean, that's not very Glenn Becky.
Yeah.
He would have a nice conversation with his Sean Hannity that was right before him on the radio.
I would refer back to, I don't know, it was episode 26, 27,
nothing
something like that, when we did my three principles. Remember?
Oh, I remember the three principles.
Yeah. So the initiation of force is immoral. That's one of my principles.
The initiation of force is immoral.
So I would say that, that is what qualifies as something that is immoral. Anytime the United States is initiating force against someone else, or any individual initiates force against another, that's immoral. And so I would agree with that. Ignore the politics. Focus on morality.
surprised to hear Glenn Beck try to take the moral ground. But
yeah, that's what he's been talking about. Of course, he wants his morals, obviously.
Well, right. He's also the one who took teddy bears down to the border, right?
Yeah.
Teddy bears down to the border? Oh.
Yeah. Give to the children. So there's a morality thing there. Let's not worry about the situation. Let's right. help these people. But I'm not... Maybe teddy bears do help. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, if you got 10,000 six-year-olds crossing the border, they could probably use a teddy bear or two.
Yeah. I'll buy stock in Build-A-Bear.
Aha, it's an economy builder.
You should do that anyway. You're a hometown company, man. You got to support the hometown.
Got to.
Well, I'm not sure.
That was my only
thing. I agree to the let's get away from the political goals or whatever those. But I don't know if morality is the right characterization of what our interests should be.
Well, I get scared on morals because, I mean, my morals, we'd help everybody, but I know that's not possible, so.
Well, people's morals are very different, so you think you're helping everybody, but maybe you're treading on somebody.
That's true.
In a recent little incident with a pharmacy, a local pharmacy, and they have this friendly reminder call that they'll do. And I keep getting this call for some medication I took, you know,
10 years ago.
And I don't, you know, it was a short-lived thing. I had like an ear infection or something, and I don't need this. So stop calling me. And I've called them, told them, hey, can you not call me? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't. Like, no, can't.
I'm sorry,
can't
we can't
is
stop
not
calling
acceptable.
You.
So, you know, I've asked nicely. I've told them. Then I got mad and called them. And, you know, I got the, well, you have to. I said, no.
I have to.
Is not an acceptable. And, well, we do this as a courtesy and a convenience. So it's not a convenience. It's not a courtesy. It's
you
want to
do me a courtesy.
Stop calling me. Hey, we got the lady. I was talking to some pharmacy manager. She's like, yeah, I've had the same experience, and it is kind of a nuisance. So, well, that's what you can do. You can tell your employer that this is a nuisance.
Yeah.
So
report
thinking
them,
you're
man.
Helping somebody, you know, that's the...
Do not call list.
Come on in. It's not too late.
We're not on the air, so just come right up.
Hey, nice.
We're working on the peace. We have solved nothing.
It's the Midwest. It's the Midwest peace process.
Did you vote this past Tuesday?
Not a Democrat or Republican.
Neither, actually. That was a very...
We got a little bit of everything on this.
Accusatory. What are you?
I'm Democrat. My husband's Republican. So we kind of cancel
each other
out.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it works. Good work.
But you know what? I have to say, we kind of have actually interacted with people.
Well, that's the whole point of what we're doing here, is trying to find common ground.
And which you should. And the young people should.
There you go. Oh, we're the young people.
Oh,
we might not be as young as you think.
I'm flattered, really.
Look, she pointed at you and was like, oh,
I'm older than you. Come on.
There you go.
So I love that.
Reach on.
Thank you.
Take a listen.
Check us out on the web.
I will.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
She touched me.
All right, are we done here?
I guess we're done. I ended my rant about the pharmacy.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was telling you, you're saying it's a service. It's no longer a service.
Right.
I don't need this. I've told you this is no longer valid. I've told you...
Right.
Inactivate this.
Right.
I don't need it.
Yes. So the next step is the do not call list. Report them.
And there again, I'm having to do, you know.
Right. Well, I know, but, you know, as long as you're paying for the government to do something, I don't know what
it
is exactly.
That's free market. That's a free market principle. Call people forever.
I knew that was going to, yeah, that's what it is. They don't care. They pretend to care about my health, but it's really just to get me to buy some stuff.
Like,
and now,
right.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy nothing from them. I'm not going to go in there to buy a bag of chips them ever.
Which pharmacy is this?
CVS Pharmacy.
All right.
And you know what? I've
now
heard
other
bad stories from other people about them.
Oh, yeah. And Walgreens sells booze. I don't know if CVS sells booze.
Well, really? Because they got rid of that for a while.
Really?
It's back.
Because I like the Walgreens because I like when I'm getting my medicine. I'm like, I need my medicine.
I need a real
medicine. I need my Jim Beam and this diamond
tap. Jerry keeps trying to end this. Like,
I
like all right,
my medicine says, don't drink alcohol with it. I'm like, there's my 12.
Bad medicine. Put some Bon Jovi in
questions?
Here.
Well.
This is just a coincidence. Yeah, I always think that.
All right.
I think we're done. I want to thank our listeners for tolerating us once again.
Who won the contest?
Oh,
Nobody submitted it, did they?
Our listener, Chuck, won.
Oh, Chuck.
Chuck.
Not Chuck. Anybody but Chuck.
Boo.
Hey, don't disparage our few listeners.
Yes.
Redraw.
Don't disparage your listeners.
I demand a recount.
Was there a hanging Chad involved with this, Chuck?
Yeah, so thank you, Chuck, for the feedback, and thanks to all the other listeners who provided us feedback.
We didn't even go over feedback.
You're right. We ran out of time.
Delete
we have so much
episode content
to go over.
We're just going to start over. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process. All right, so we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.
Yay.
All right, let me get the pisser.
No.